Welcome back to the latest episode of EIQcast. My name's Ross Levanto, and I'm joined today by EIQ Network's product evangelist, John Linkus. John, welcome back yet again.
Thanks, Ross. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Today, kind of an interesting topic. You know, the federal stimulus bill that was passed by President Barack Obama, signed by President Barack Obama after it passed Congress a few weeks back, it's over 1,000 pages long. And for that reason, many of us are now still kind of reading through it to figure out what's actually in the bill. And we're going to talk today about one specific part of the bill, John, that you pointed out, has really, really big implications on the transfer of e-health information, electronic health records, which is also a big priority for the Obama administration. So it's probably going to become a bigger and bigger issue in the months and years ahead. And John, maybe you could just start by talking about a little bit about what the actual rule and regulation within the law stipulates.
Sure. Well, of course, the overall American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, or ERA, A-R-R-A, addresses a lot more than just this. But as with any large sort of sweeping legislation, there are components of that stimulus package that may not seem to be directly associated with stimulus, and this is certainly one of them. There's a section of ARRA or ERA called Title 13, which creates something called the Health Information Technology for Economic and Clinical Health Act, or High Tech Act. And this High Tech Act, of course, it had to be a government acronym, right?
Right.
It had to be a neat acronym if it was part of a government bill. So under that act, the Department of Health and Human Services is establishing a national health information technology czar. It's I don't think given the czar title, but that's effect what this person and this organization will do. And what that group is really going to do is look over the development of e-health records, which includes not only expanding the existing HIPAA regulation related to healthcare that we're all familiar with, but also ensuring that new policies are developed. And one of the things that for information security and privacy professionals that's really important and focused in there is the need or the mandate to implement certified electronic health records or e-health records for everybody in the country by the year 2014. The idea behind an e-health record is pretty simple. It's your entire healthcare history in a portable format that can move from a hospital to, say, a specialist's office to, say, some other type of specialist, all the way down to your dentist. The problem, of course, is that if you're sending out that kind of data, you better have some serious security and privacy controls in place around it. So one of the things that the High Tech Act defines is not only the mandate to use these electronic health records, but says that we're going to implement some very specific security and privacy standards around it related to authentication and encryption. And we're going to get those in place and define those by December 31st of this year, of 2009. Moreover, it defines really specific penalties for failure to comply with the use of those e-health records and put the appropriate controls around them. Unlike HIPAA, which was a little bit vague in some cases, and I think the highest number that was explicitly stated in the HIPAA reg was, I believe, $20,000. High Tech Act defines sanctions up to over $1 million per per instance for failure to implement those controls.
So as a quick summary, it's a new standard way of exchanging personal health information or electronic record, healthcare records, and also along with that is a set of standards related to security controls on that information exchange. So that because obviously if you transfer information in the same way, it opens up the possibility of significant security risk.
Absolutely. And, in addition to the financial implications in terms of sanctions, there's also some major potential PR issues there. One of the things that the High Tech Act requires is that any time there's a breach, that a notification gets posted to the HHS public website. So the Department of Health and Human Services will actually be tracking and publishing to the entire world the fact that that a breach occurred, and that includes covered entities, business associates, vendors, and even third-party service providers. So if you're a hospital and one of your business associates mishandles your data, your name still goes up on the HHS public website, regardless of whether you get penalized money or not.
Certainly a far stricter provision than other industries that have, you know, heavily regulated controls on them.
Absolutely. And also, you know, I know we in one of our recent previous podcasts, we discussed HIPAA. One of the big differences between this between HIPAA and this extension to HIPAA is the time frame provision. Again, you know, organizations really have to have this implemented as quickly as possible. This isn't going to be a situation where, you know, organizations have, you know, 10 to 12 years to implement all the technologies and all of the controls. It's going to be in relatively short order.
Yeah, I'm happy you brought up HIPAA, because something interesting happened that I'm sure we all remember after HIPAA was put in place. And that is, people spent a lot of time figuring out exactly what the controls were that HIPAA was actually stipulating. So it seems like the NIST situation is hoping to kind of take out some of that ambiguity. Is that fair? Or is there, do you think there's still going to be a period of time where people kind of digest this law and figure out how to implement it?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head there, Ross. You know, when FISMA, the Federal Information Systems Management Act, came out a number of years ago, NIST was kind of put on point as the organization to come up with those standards for implementing FISMA. And, you know, that is really the case here. You know, the federal government has basically said NIST is our go-to agency for developing these standards and ensuring that you know, federal agencies as well as non-federal agencies, in this case, you know, healthcare payers, providers, and anyone else who touches those e-health records, is meeting a specific standard. So I think what you'll find from NIST, if you look historically at what they produce, is a very detailed, very, very consistent definition of what those technology standards need to be. And I don't think there's going to be nearly as much ambiguity with the HITECH Act as there was with HIPAA.
Given that NIST has until the end of the year, it sounds like, to come up with these specific control requirements, what can, you know, IT pros do at some of these organizations that are affected, which sounds like everything from your dentist's office to your healthcare insurance company? What can they do to kind of prepare for those controls before they come? Is there anything they can do now?
Well, certainly. You know, one of the key things they can do from an information perspective is, you know, continuously look on the NIST website, the public websites. You know, as these standards get formulated over the course of the next year, perhaps they'll simply be modifications of existing NIST standards, like the NIST 853 series of technology controls. My guess is there'll be a combination of stuff that's already built in as best practice with NIST and some new healthcare specific controls. So I think one thing organizations can do is, you know, stay informed. You know, go to the NIST website, look and see what information is being published out there. You know, keep up with it, because if you're prepared and you've got some controls in place before the ruling goes into effect, you'll be in much better position to meet the timeframes that are mandated for compliance. Another thing organizations can do is really start taking order today around all of the information they have related to security and privacy. And that's everything from existing written policies and standards to ensuring that employees have appropriate security awareness training and know how to properly handle existing healthcare records that the organization uses, as well as making sure that they've got access to the right technology information. If you look at what's going to be required, most likely it's going to include things like monitoring requirements, where organizations are going to have to be able to immediately know when certain bad things happen, like failed authentications, for example, into e-healthcare systems. They're going to include configuration requirements that servers and workstations and applications are configured in a certain way. They're going to include monitoring network performance and making sure that certain types of network traffic, like, for example, traffic that contains e-healthcare records, is only running across network segments or individual networks where it needs to go. So, you know, getting a good understanding of what's going on in the network and in the environment and with the users and the employees is a critical first step. That's going to be helpful regardless of what the specific standards are.
So it's about getting information across a whole different number of data sources basically to automate that process ultimately.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, both the technical and the personal. You know, the technical data, really everything. You know, what are your events and log data? What are your access controls around all of your files? You know, what are the configurations of all of your systems? And then on the human factor, you know, again, are your employees made aware of how they should be properly handling protected healthcare data and data that would be in these e-healthcare records? That's as critical of a step as the technology side.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in terms of as these rules and controls are stipulated from NIST, how the industry responds to them. But John, thank you so much for explaining it for us today. I'm sure we'll probably have additional episodes, I'm sure, on this topic as things develop on the side of NIST. But for now, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great. Thanks, Ross, and thanks again, everyone, for joining.
And for everyone else out there, you can find out more information by visiting the EIQ Networks website at www.eiqnetworks.com. For now, this has been the EIQ Cast.
This podcast was produced by EIQ Networks, a provider of enterprise security and compliance management solutions. For more information, visit EIQ Networks on the web at www.eiqnetworks.com. EIQ Networks, security and compliance management, redefined.